I've got a question for you, a question that every person should ask themselves, but the great majority of people in our society never ask. And it is this: why did God give me the gift of life? The Bible gives me a very clear answer to that question. God gave me the gift of life because he means me to live it with him and for him. He intends that I should know him and serve him. But if I'm going to do that and get it right, I'm going to need a map or a guidebook that lays it out for me, gives me a framework so that I know how to do it and I don't go astray. So whenever we read the Bible, one of the questions we should ask about every passage we read is, which bits of the map is this giving me? How is it teaching me how to live with God and for God? What does it tell me about knowing him and serving him? And that's what we're going to ask Psalm 23 to tell us. And we're going to discover that its answer is this: if I want to navigate my way through life rightly, if I want to know where I am and where I should be heading, if I want to know how to stay on track, then I have to wear bifocals. I have to keep seeing things in twos. I have to grasp twin truths. Not identical twins, because they aren't the same as each other, but nevertheless things which necessarily belong together. So what we're going to do is see that there are four pretty obvious sets of twins that this psalm gives us. And then when we stand back and think about it just a bit more, another two. So that altogether we end up with six sets of twins. The first one is very simple and straightforward. There are two things I need to know about God. First one, obvious. The Lord is my shepherd. So what's the second one? Well, I wonder if you noticed as we read it that at a particular point in the psalm, the focus of it suddenly shifts. So in verses 1 to 4, where are we? And you read it and think, well, we're outside, in the pastures, going through the valleys. That's right. That's exactly right. And that's where the Lord is our shepherd. But in verses 5 and 6, where are we? No longer outside, we're inside. Inside the house of the Lord. And we discover that the Lord, who is our shepherd, is also our host. I am not only his sheep, I am also his guest. Now, there are some important things the psalm tells us about those two things, and we'll look at them in a moment. But at least there is this simple truth to be learned straight away. One word picture, one metaphor, one image is not enough to tell me everything. We need to make sure when we read the Bible that we listen carefully to everything it says, because it gives us a very rich, full, well-rounded picture and understanding of who God is and who we are, and we have to be careful that we don't squash it and make it flat by only hearing one of the truths that it teaches us. God's truth is rich and big, and we mustn't make it poor and one-dimensional because we just don't pay enough attention. So the Lord is my shepherd, the Lord is my host, and there are two things the psalm teaches us about each of those facts about who he is. The first four verses tell me two truths about God's shepherding. First of all, it means me lying down. You see that in verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. The Lord's shepherding involves the oasis. It means pastures, it means pools, and it refreshes me, verse 3. But there's another side to it as well. It doesn't only involve lying down, it also involves walking. Verse 4. And it involves not only pastures, but also paths. Verse 3. He guides me along the right paths. And some of those paths go through dark valleys, which in the land of Palestine are what we would call canyons. Canyons that are dark and dangerous. But even there, I am protected. So there's the oasis and the canyons. There's lying down and being refreshed. There's walking and being protected. And both of those go with having the Lord as my shepherd. That will mean peace in the oasis and sometimes peril in the canyon. Having the Lord as my shepherd means that I will enjoy quiet havens, but I will also face great hazards. And we have to be very careful that we do not fall for the lie that says we should only have the oasis, the pastures and the pools, and not the dark canyon. We mustn't fall for the siren song that goes on being sung in churches generation after generation that says, here's a way of deleting the canyon from your itinerary. Here's a recipe that will give you a life of unbroken bliss, oasis all the time, no trouble, no hurts. The Bible does not offer such a recipe. It does not offer such a life. There will be both the quiet waters and the dark canyons. And what I should say to myself is, if the shepherd who leads me beside the quiet waters also guides me along the paths that go through the canyon, then that's good enough for me. If he's going to stay with me all the way through the canyon, then I'll go with him. So there are two things I need to know about having the Lord as my shepherd. Verses 5 and 6 tell us there are two things I need to know about having the Lord as my host. Two things about God's hospitality. The first in verse 5 is that he pampers me. You prepare a table before me. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. His hospitality is lavish and bountiful, an overflowing cup. Being his guest is as good as being his sheep, where I lack nothing. And he provides all of it. I don't bring anything to the table or add anything to the house. I come with empty hands, and what I get to enjoy comes from his riches, not from my resources. He pampers me. And verse 6, he pursues me. The translators of our English Bibles have decided not to translate the Hebrew verb in verse 6 literally, presumably because they think it is not dignified that we should think of God as chasing us. But the verb that's translated follow actually means to chase, to pursue. And what is that telling me? That the love and goodness of God will chase me all the days of my life. Well, that has to mean he is utterly determined never to stop being good to us. He will never hold back from loving us to the max. Every day of my life, he has no intention of leaving me alone. He's going to chase me in order to fill my life with his goodness and his love. So this is meant to fill us with great assurance, because verse 5 has reminded us that every day of our lives we're threatened by enemies. The Bible calls them the world, the flesh, and the devil. And verse 6 says to me, yes, there are enemies, but my host, this great God, is not going to leave me alone, exposed and vulnerable in the presence of my enemies. He will be right on my heels every day, making sure that his goodness and his love overwhelm everything that tries to bring me down. So we need to know two things about God. He's our shepherd and our host. There are two things we need to know about each of those things about him. And now the fourth set of twins is that this psalm tells me living with God as my shepherd and my host has two phases or two stages. The first one means travelling. The first four verses of the psalm, I'm on the move. I'm involved in a journey. The shepherd leads me, verse 2, and he guides me, verse 3, and he's with me as I walk, verse 4. I'm a traveller with a shepherd. But the second phase, the second stage, is what we get to in verses 5 and 6, where I'm no longer travelling, I'm dwelling in the house of the Lord. At the end of my travels, at the end of the journey, I get to come home, to be where I belong. No more travelling. Home at last. I get previews of this while I'm travelling when the shepherd takes me to the oasis, to the green pastures and the quiet waters. But these oasis times are not meant to be lasting or final. They are a great blessing on the journey, but I'm intended to be at home, not out in the pastures, but in the Lord's house. And in both stages of my life, travelling and dwelling, I have the Lord with me. When I head into the canyon, he is with me. Verse 4. Yes, he's with me in the oasis. Verse 2 and 3. And that is a wonderful gift. But even better in many ways is the fact that he stays with me in the darkness and dangers of the canyon, protecting me. And then he's with me at the end of the journey, or rather, when at last I come home, I will be with him. Then I will dwell in his dwelling place. I will be at home in his house. The long engagement will finally be over, and at last we will be together. The marathon will be done and behind me, and the victory celebrations will be underway and will never stop. So there are four fairly obvious sets of twins that this psalm has to tell us. What could be the other two that I said, standing back a bit and thinking about it a bit more, will give us? Well, the first of them is this. I need to know that this psalm has two owners. First of all, it belongs to David. This psalm is David's testimony to the Lord's goodness and love towards him. Here he is giving voice to his confidence in God, his gratitude to God, his joy and wonder at belonging to such a reliable shepherd and such a generous host. And the David who is saying this about his shepherd is a shepherd himself. Elsewhere in the Old Testament, we discover that God has chosen David to be the shepherd of his people. End of Psalm 78, one example. In David's world, shepherd is what you called a monarch, a king, a great ruler. So we have to reread this psalm from an angle we've probably never thought of. The Lord is my king. The Lord is my sovereign, my ruler. And when I read the whole psalm from that angle, the only outcome can be absolute amazement. What kind of a king is this who treats us like royalty? Well, have a go at reading it that way. The psalm belongs to David, but it also belongs to us. These words are also meant to be ours, since we know the love and goodness of the same God, who is also our shepherd and our host. But we get to read these words at a deeper level than David could possibly have read them. And that is because we know the Lord Jesus, the good shepherd of the sheep, who laid down his life for his sheep. So there is more in every part of this psalm than David could have seen. And the New Testament will help us to see the riches embedded in all of David's words. And perhaps the most important part of this plus factor is to do with verse 4. Even though I walk through the darkest canyon, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. See, the shepherd who comes with us through the dark and dangerous canyons has actually been there before. He went there on his own, and he went through the dark canyon by himself. And it cost him terribly. So when we get there, to have that shepherd with us gives us enormous confidence and real courage. Because, as the great Puritan Richard Baxter said, Christ leads me through no darker rooms than he went through before. So this is a psalm with two owners. And finally, this is a psalm that needs me to have two voices as I live with the wonderful God it tells me about. The psalm tells me that the first voice I need is the voice of testimony. I should be doing what David does when the psalm begins. I should be speaking about this marvelous Lord. Belonging to him could not possibly be better than it is. Much better, much, much better than anything the world has to offer me. To be taken to the oasis, to the pastures and the pools, to have him leading us and chasing us with love and goodness, having him with us in the canyon and getting to come home to him. If he is this good and this great, we must tell other people about this wonderful God. And maybe today you'll have a minute or two to tell somebody about a recent experience you've had of God's great goodness and kindness and overflowing love to you. But this psalm tells me I need another voice. The voice of testimony is important, and that's how David begins the psalm. But I wonder if you noticed a great change that happens in the middle of it. What this tells me is that I should not only be speaking about God, I should also be speaking to him. Since I know that he is this good and this great, I should be telling him how grateful I am to be loved by him like this. telling him of my confidence in him, my longing for him, my satisfaction with him. So do you notice when David changes into that mode, that voice, from speaking about God to speaking to God? When God stops being he and becomes you. Can you see it in the psalm? And what a surprise. It's when he gets to the canyon that God is no longer someone he's talking about, but someone he's talking to. See, that there is a problem with the oasis, with the pastures and the pools. The problem is not that they could be better, because they couldn't be. The problem is that we can be so satisfied with the gift of the oasis time that we neglect the giver. So content with the richness of the pastures and the tranquility of the pools, we forget who gave this to us. So canyons do us a very big favour, because when the chips are down, when I'm really up against it, what do I need most? What matters most? Well, you are with me. That's all I need. If that's true, I can keep going. If it isn't true, then all is lost. Well and truly and utterly lost. At the first Christmas in the Second World War, King George VI made a radio broadcast to all the people in the British Empire. And in his broadcast, he quoted this piece of a poem that had been written early in the 20th century. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, "Give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown." And he replied, "Go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be better than light and safer than a known way." So if I get what this psalm is telling me, and I know it's right, then I should be telling other people about this God, but I should also be bursting to tell him what an amazing privilege it is to belong to him. How wonderful to get to live my life with him and for him. Well, we finished our journey through the psalm, and we've been looking at how it gives us some kind of map or guidebook for living rightly with God and for God, knowing him and serving him. Let's just remind ourselves of the six sets of twins, the bifocals we need to get it right. We need to know two things about the Lord, that he is our shepherd and our host. I need to know two things about his shepherding. It brings me to the oasis, and it takes me through the canyon. I need to know two things about his hospitality. He pampers me and he pursues me. I need to know two things about living with him. It means travelling, and then it means coming home and dwelling. I also need to know that David is not the only owner of this psalm, so are we. And because what it says is right, I need to have two voices in living with this God, speaking about him to others and speaking to him. But just before we leave it, there's one thing that we've touched on only very briefly that's too important to leave, and we must make sure we don't miss it. Verse 1 reminds me that there's a story behind this psalm bigger than the one David knew. For us, this psalm begins, "The Lord Jesus is my shepherd." And here's what he had to say about that. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." The starting point for living with God and for God is Jesus in his death and resurrection. And that must be our foundation, our center, our starting point every day. And it's because of Jesus in his death and resurrection that I lack nothing. Nothing that I need for the journey through this life. It's because of Jesus' death and resurrection that I know I can trust him to lead me to the oasis and to guide me on the right path. And because of his death and resurrection, I know I don't have to fear the dark canyons. And I also know that there's a home waiting for me at the end of the journey, and he intends to get me there. Well, this Lord is a magnificent shepherd and a marvelous host. Why wouldn't I want to live with him and for him? I wonder how long it is since you actually thanked him for the enormous privilege of being his sheep and his guest. Well, today's not a bad day to do it, and then every day after that as well.